This is episode 37 of the Adventure RX podcast, titled Doing More with Less, if I had to pick a title. I hate picking titles because I kind of wander all over the place in some of these episodes, but I think that's the big theme here is doing more with less, which ironically is a great way to kick off the holiday season as it is the day before Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving, and I am recording this 37th episode on my iPhone.
You're listening to Adventure RX, an active prescription for the non-compliant.
Not fiery enough, that terrible thing. I want to talk me out of it. Not fiery enough, that terrible thing. I want to talk me out of it. Not fiery enough, that terrible.
The Adventure RX podcast is a production of Living Vertical Studios. As I mentioned, that studio is an iPhone with a little Zoom attachment, a plug-in attachment to my iPhone, and a closet, and a laptop is ultimately what I'm going to be doing some of my post-production on here. And if you would like to have access to more of the content and the community that Living Vertical is creating as we challenge the limits of diabetes, please visit livingvertical.org. It's a great website made much greater by our visual director, Blake McCord, who has done awesome things there with the forum for adventurous, active people with type 1, not necessarily super athletes, but for anybody with type 1 who just wants a slightly different take on being active and getting after it. And also there are blogs, videos, and we have some photography and some information about how you can get involved with the work that we do there at livingvertical.org. And you can also connect with us on social media. That's another important thing that we have to offer there. So I am really busy right now, and I've been, the last week or so has been me listing stuff on eBay, answering questions for people who are like, can I get the measurement armpit to armpit, who don't want to look up on Google what the sizing chart is for the specific brand and item, and shipping stuff out and trying to kind of stay afloat there. And it makes me realize how much stuff I have that I don't need. And in some ways, it's kind of embarrassing because there's so much that I have to be grateful for, and yet I still wind up accumulating so many things that I don't need. And if there is one takeaway that always seems to come back to me from the outset of every adventure that we've ever gone on, Stephanie and I, and now as our family is embarking in 2016 on the road, it seems to be that I keep learning about how little I really need and how much I can do with a desire to really go further with less stuff. And it's so hard to maintain a reasonable mindset about how much stuff comes in when you live in a space that's large enough to accommodate a lot of things and give you variety that you oftentimes don't need. And again, I'm speaking to myself here. I don't think that it's, you know, I'm not trying to point fingers or say that you have too much stuff or anybody's bad like that. It's just a lesson that I've been learning through kind of going through my stuff, looking at it and say, have I worn this recently? Am I about to wear this? Do I need this? What is the value of this object? And then saying, if it doesn't have a clear and obvious value in my life, I'm going to discard it so that I'm able to live the way that I want to live. You know, we're going to have to prioritize space for medical stuff with diabetes and storing that stuff that I need. And then, of course, you know, computers and media gear as we're going to be doing this podcast from the road, having meetups and doing video production as well. So it's really been kind of interesting for me to say, okay, how far can we push this? And that's one of the reasons why I'm recording this podcast episode today on my iPhone, is because I'm just kind of curious to see how light I can go when it comes to recording passable quality in terms of audio. So I'm excited for that because it feels like a challenge. It's like Tetris, but higher stakes, because if we don't have the right stuff that we need and we're out there, we're kind of out of luck, and you only, you know, you're kind of relying on the stuff that you have in the position that we're putting ourselves in. So anyways, we're drawing to the end of November. Diabetes Awareness Month is over. It's been important for me to keep my head down during this month just because I feel like I have 11 months out of the year to raise awareness and really push back against stereotypes and to use adventure to highlight what people with diabetes can do and are doing and the possibilities that we have. And, you know, for a lot of people who may not be as active all the time with diabetes stuff, November is an opportunity to, you know, be part of advocacy campaigns and fundraising, which is a good opportunity for people who maybe don't feel like doing that stuff all year round. And I don't say that with any, you know, I'm not throwing any shade at anybody by saying that, because for 12 years of my life, I didn't want anything to do with that because I just wanted to live my life. And so it's good to give other people a turn as well. And it's also been good for me, you know, to take a little bit of a break and step back and really focus on getting my priorities dialed in so that this transition that's about to happen in 2016, so that that can happen smoothly. And that's a really important thing for me, because I don't want to be putting so much effort into social media and sharing this experience that I mismanage my life, and then, you know, I don't have anything worthwhile to share because I get, you know, everything out of whack with just trying to live day to day. And so that's a risk that I'm constantly having to balance. And of course, with, you know, blood sugar is always part of that too. You know, I'm just trying to find the time to stay moving and stay active, which honestly I haven't really been doing a whole lot. A little bit of running, but it's starting to get cold here, and it's hard for me to do much other than, you know, try to get out and move for like an hour or so every day, and otherwise just really focus in on controlling my blood sugar. I was talking to our marketing director, Carter Clark, the other day, and, you know, we were talking about the importance of being outside and being moving, and how it's very possible for information overload to occur with all the technology that we sometimes have access to. And I'm referring specifically to CGM technology, which I'm very, very thankful for. This episode isn't like a specific bullet point list of what I'm thankful for this year, but I am very thankful for having had almost a year now of being on good, reliable, continuous glucose monitoring. And that has made my ability to manage my diabetes so much better. And in a way, I've been unable to get out and exercise and be as active in my job and in my daily life this past year. But I've tried to sort of make up for that by being able to have tighter control with my blood sugar. Because, for example, if I go out for a day of climbing and, you know, I have a little snack before I start climbing and I don't take any insulin because I don't want to go low, and then by the time I get back down on the ground, my sugar might be, you know, 180 or 170, which, you know, after a day of climbing, and if my sugar is a little bit on the high side, it's like, hey, so my sugar is a little bit high. I just finished an awesome day of climbing and I'm psyched. I'm not going to let my blood sugar get in the way of my enjoyment of this. Whereas if I'm sitting on the couch or sitting at a desk and my blood sugar is higher, I get depressed, I get angry, I get down on myself, and it's like I feel like I'm getting a double negative. So I've been trying to use this technology to sort of help me get tighter control in a more sedentary time, because on some level I feel like that translates to preserving your body and giving yourself athletic staying power for when you're able to train more. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about, just as I'm in a preparation phase here, is a little bit about what my life looks like right now. And You know, one of the things I've heard a lot during Project 365, which is kind of the climbing project that Living Vertical and this podcast and all the work that we've done, what that's grown out of. And that started in 2011. My wife and I were on the road for a year. We have podcast episodes about it. We have a documentary at livingvertical.org that you can check out if you want to watch that. But it was a similar type of thing where it was around this time of year where we were getting rid of everything, preparing to cram everything into our station wagon, and we were going to live on the road for a year. And we did that. And through the year that we spent on the road, one of the things that I would hear a lot was people would say, "Oh man, you're so lucky. You're so lucky." And I always think about that, and it's like, am I lucky, or am I making sacrifices that maybe other people aren't making? And I kind of go back and forth on that, honestly. There are some times when I feel like I'm just making sacrifices that, you know, other people wouldn't want to make for very good reasons. And then there's other times I think about it and I'm like, yeah, I am kind of lucky, right? Like, I couldn't do this if I didn't have, you know, with a child, I couldn't do this if I didn't have a supportive spouse who's willing to make these kind of sacrifices to do this stuff with me. And so I wanted to kind of preemptively, I guess, to take a second to paint a little picture, a little snapshot of what is going on in my life. So right now, I am down to like 4 pair of pants, which is still feels like a lot, about 6 or 7 shirts. And, you know, I have socks and underwear, things that I'm not really limiting myself on too much, but I don't really have space to put the computer down because everything is torn apart in boxes, getting ready to pack and sell items that I have. You know, the couch in the living room is pretty much piled up with clothing and shipping containers. And there is not a lot of free time that I have because all my time is spent kind of like trying to sell this stuff on eBay and going back and forth, both for the sake of logistics and having room to move into the trailer, but also to have money to support this, because part of the decision to move meant leaving a full-time job, which we've discussed in past episodes as well. And so on Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to be packing and shipping, or getting stuff ready to ship, I should say, and addressing and doing stuff on eBay and trying to move that forward and getting everything kind of cleaned up and sorted and organized that we have, and downsizing, giving away and selling everything that we possibly can that we don't absolutely need. And it's, you know, that may not sound like a big sacrifice, and in a lot of ways it's not. I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm suffering at all, but having a you know, space that is organized and that is familiar and a routine and a place for everything and everything in its place is something that always gives me, and I suspect a lot of people, a certain amount of security. And so I would liken it to when you're moving into a house, or moving into a different apartment or something, and you're kind of living out of suitcases. That's what's going on right now. And take a minute and think about it, like what it's like to feel like you're living out of your suitcase all the time and you're in transition, okay? And then imagine that instead of moving into a house where you know it's going to be comfortable in time, you're not moving into a house, but you're moving into a tiny trailer that's like the size of the closet that I'm currently recording in, and you really don't know if it's going to suck or if it's going to be good. That's kind of always weighing on my mind too. So all that to say, it's a challenge. It's not something that I feel bad about, or that I'm, you know, that I want people to feel sorry for, or that I consider myself ill-used. But it is something that I'm grappling with every single day. It's a process. And, you know, 6 months from now, when somebody sees a picture that I post from Yosemite or British Columbia and they say, "You're so lucky," well, I want to kind of have this as a record to go back and say, you know, yes and no, there are two sides to it. I feel like it's really easy to present an idealized picture of adventure, and I also think it's a real common mistake to present an idealized picture of opportunity. And that's something that kind of speaks to the whole, like, you're so lucky side of thing, where I think about that and I'm like, yeah, maybe I am lucky, because opportunity isn't something where everybody can just go out at any time and do anything and be successful. I'm 33 now. When I was about 19 years old and I was in college, I made a decision. One of the few decisions that I have publicly credited my dad for influencing correctly in my life, because we have not seen eye to eye on a lot of things growing up, because he comes from a very old school mentality. But that was going to a state college, because he said, you know, the less debt you have, the more freedom you have to live your life the way that you want to. And so from the time I was 19, I started making choices based on having freedom and flexibility, because at that time, it occurred to me that there was a choice between having a bunch of money and working a stressful job that would, you know, have to take the cut out of my physical health and my time in order to have the money, versus working a job that would allow me to be more active and have more time, and hopefully, you know, being active and having more time and less stress in my life would ultimately translate into better health. I felt like that was a black and white option for me, and I chose time and exercise and activity and experience because that just seemed like the right choice for me. And so that has always been something that I've been working towards. But it's taken me, you know, over a decade to get to the point where I can move my family into a trailer on the road, live this way, and be able to support us, because it's also taken the last 5 years for me to develop the skills in order to be able to earn any kind of a living out there consistently. So when I say, yeah, anybody can do this, I do believe that anybody can do this, but I think that not anybody can do this right now or immediately. I think there's a process, and that process is different for everybody. And if there's a takeaway from this particular segment of what I'm trying to explain to show the balanced picture of this transition, the move, living on the road, living for adventure, and these things are typically idealized, it's that it is doable, but it looks different for everybody, and it's not something that I stumbled into. You know, I had one guy trolling me on Twitter a couple of years back who claimed I was a shill for Big Pharma, and that, you know, I was getting paid to do all this stuff, which wasn't true at all. And, you know, honestly, I replied saying as much, because I would have loved to have been getting paid, and have had to wrestle with the moral and ethical dilemmas of accepting sponsorship dollars. But that's not really a bridge I've had to cross at this point. Although, you know, that's a curse that I would love to bring upon myself, of having to worry about sponsorship dollars, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, a lot of people, they see this stuff and they think that they take a snapshot of it and they don't really understand what's going on. And, you know, that's fine, I guess. I'm not really talking to those people that are going to heckle from the sidelines, but for people who are interested in this kind of thing, know that it is possible, but there is sacrifice that comes with it, and you have to find the value in it yourself. So a lot of what I'm doing is downsizing stuff right now. I'm selling clothing, and ultimately, that idea of finding value in things, it's really interesting to see. There was a point 6 months ago when I hadn't made a plan to go on the road and take on a big adventure with my family, where I was feeling kind of down, and so I valued a piece of clothing that I didn't really need much more highly, whereas now I look at that same piece of clothing that I paid, you know, a shirt that I paid $30 for, because it made me feel better about not being out doing what my heart wanted to be doing. Now I put that shirt on eBay, it sells for a third of that, and I don't blink an eye, and I'm like happy to let it go. In fact, I'm excited that it got even $10 on eBay because of the fact that it's like, hey, the value now to me is no longer in the shirt performing an emotional service for me where I feel better about my life. That shirt is one less thing that I have standing between me and an awesome adventure that I'm proud of that's going to happen with my family that we're going to take on together, and that could be really awesome or could be terrible. I think it's going to be awesome. I have decided to get rid of some photo prints that I made of my own photos from the Wind River Project, and then we went out of the Wind River Range after that, and we're climbing together as a group of Type 1s all together. Like, I was able to get some really awesome shots that were probably the first what I would consider professional grade shots that I've had. And if you follow me on Instagram, it's at Living Vertical, or on Facebook, where you can see these shots, and I'm auctioning them off because I made prints of them last year. I love the prints, but the downside of moving into a trailer is that I have to cut out things that I can't bring with me, like my photographs that I printed. And someday, you know, I want to live in a permanent space that has room for some art and that I've created, but right now I can't take those with me, and I don't want to get rid of them. So if you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/livingvertical, you can see there are 7 pictures that I have prints of at various sizes right at the top of the Facebook feed. If you're interested in owning one of those, I will sign it and handwrite a thank you note and ship it to you. If you drop a comment on the photo that you want with however much you're willing to pay for it, to bid on it, I guess you could say. It's an informal auction. I don't have, you know, I'm not going to refuse any reasonable offers. I just want to make sure that the art that I've created through adventuring with other people with Type 1, that can go to somebody who gets what we're doing and appreciates it, since I can't hang on to it myself. And of course, I feel good about being able to go into this adventure without having to do a fundraiser and say, hey, like, give me money because I'm going to do something awesome, but to be able to say, hey, here's an actual thing, a product, here's art that I have created, and I can exchange it for support, which is, you know, a very different position than I was in 4 years ago when Stephanie and I took on Project 365. So it's encouraging to me to be able to have that opportunity. And again, you can find information about this at our Facebook page or even at livingvertical.org. There is a slider there. The very first thing that pops up at livingvertical.org is information, where you just click on that and it'll take you right to the post on Facebook. And you can own some of my photographs if that is of interest to you. In 2011, when we took on Project 365 together, there was a very clear goal in mind, and it was to climb 365 days without taking any breaks, in order to prove something, send a message, empower people with diabetes, and really portray an empowering but realistic representation of what it means to live with this condition through adventure. This time it's a little bit different, and trying to find, you know, an elevator pitch for this to explain to people and say, here's what we're doing in one sentence, is kind of difficult, but I'm gonna do my best. So the way I look at this is that this is a big project to normalize adventure, because living on the road with my family, working to support myself as an independent contractor, sharing photos, videos, and developing my skills, all the while pursuing adventure and sharing that adventure with diabetes in the picture constantly, is a way to normalize opportunity with diabetes, because not everybody needs to or wants to do what I'm doing, but the fact that I'm able to do that, I think, sends a message to somebody who wants to do something very different from that and who just might be looking for a different representation. So much of what is out there about diabetes, it's very dry, it's very medical, it's very sterile. It doesn't have any life in it. And so for me, diabetes is the reason why I'm motivated to live my life better and more out there, because I'm a little bit less afraid of taking risks with my life, not in an irresponsible, like, Evel Knievel sort of way, but making decisions that might seem a little bit off the beaten path, because diabetes brought home to me at a very young age the fact that, hey, I could do everything the best I know how, and I might still drop dead at a very young age because of things that I can't control. It's very liberating if you embrace that, and who knows how much longer and better you can live as a result of doing more, saying yes to more things. And that's what I want to show people by living on the road with my family. It's about how important adventure can be, and adventure, not just adventure as climbing or adventure as backpacking, hiking, canyoneering, the technical adventure. I mean adventure in terms of saying, here's something we haven't done before, here's a big unknown, here is a risk, right? Taking a baby that, you know, likes to scream her face off when she's in a car, and then saying, oh, P.S., we're going to live on the road with her. Well, that's a big risk. That could go terribly. You know, leaving a job, that's a risk. That could go terribly. But at the same time, I know that having an element of risk also increases accountability, because you know that you have a narrower margin of error, so you work harder. And for me, what that translates into specifically is doing more and developing more my creative work, so that I am shooting more in terms of photos, editing more, being more productive, and really taking my media skills to the next level, and being able to create a living for my family off of that. Including video, which, if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/livingvertical, where I put up a few videos earlier in the fall, and right now, of course, with the transitions, I have not been doing a lot of videos, but once we hit the road, I really want to use YouTube as an outlet to just shoot more, edit more, and get better, because if my family's future relies on improving and doing more with those skills, I'm going to be sure to follow through with that. Whereas if I have other outlets or other opportunities, I might just back off of that. And there's a certain extent where this project is self-help. It's something that I'm scratching my own itch by going out there and living my life the way I want to. There is also an element that I want to give back to the community and put out in the world, which is that, you know, diabetes is not something that has the power to victimize us if we choose not to let that happen. That whatever is going on with our diabetes, with any challenge that we face, that we have a choice in terms of how we face that challenge. That we don't have to be helpless and beg for a cure. A cure is something that, you know, research is important. We're pushing towards research. We need that to happen. But in the meantime, I'm not going to throw up a white flag and say, this is it, diabetes wins. I'm going to just sit here and wait and be safe and not do anything and be very, you know, live inside this little bubble. I refuse to do that, and I want to empower other people to think for themselves and to say, you know what, I don't have to wait for somebody to come along and cure my diabetes. I can actually do something with my life while I'm waiting for that, while I'm working towards that. There is going to be, or there are going to be, specific climbing projects that are going to happen along the way, I don't doubt. I have some goals for climbing in Yosemite. I have some goals for climbing in the Eastern Sierra. And doing some traverses in the Eastern Sierras in California. Also some goals for the Squamish area and British Columbia over the summer. And possibly possibly, and this is, you know, it's very early days to say this, but a trip to Patagonia next winter. And so those are specific climbing specific projects that I think will happen within in this. But also, one of the things that sets this apart and is part of the big picture here is that this is not just about me scratching my itch, at least in terms of living what Living Vertical is offering. It's also about bringing in other people and involving more people. And in 2016, you're going to see regular content contributors to Living Vertical from other Type 1 adventurers who are doing different things in different places, who have different perspectives and different views, who are bringing their expertise and who are sharing what they've learned and their perspectives onto the site and building that community. And that goes hand in hand with having meetups all around North America as Stephanie and I are traveling, because the big picture of what I want to accomplish, what the point of this project is objectively, ultimately comes down to creation. Not reheating the same old hash, not just, you know, kicking around tired phrases and hashtags, but really creating something new, creating community, creating opportunities, creating inspiration, creating media. That is a big part of it, and having the opportunity to do that in a larger scale, in a bigger sense, with more people all over North America is the goal of what we are doing. And as I take the time to reflect on this stuff at Thanksgiving, I want to say that I'm really thankful for the opportunity to speak to you. I'm thankful for my audience, for the people that listen to this podcast, that support our work, that share the things that we're doing, and that are invested in a similar message of empowerment and action, regardless what obstacles are facing you. So if that's something that you can get behind and that you're stoked on, you know, there are definitely ways that you can support what we're doing. Certainly sharing this podcast, sharing our website, connect with us on social media and facebook.com/livingvertical if you want to get involved with the auction that I'm doing to sell off the photo prints that I have. Being perfectly honest, my blood sugar is heading for the south end of the levee here, which is why I'm a little bit less articulate than I might have been perhaps when I started off. So until episode 38, get in touch if you have questions or comments at livingvertical.org. Bid on a photo on our Facebook page if you're interested. Share the podcast with your friends, and we will see you right here in another week or so. And we're going to be talking in episode 38 about the launch of the project. We're going to actually put a number, a date. We're going to quantify in finite terms the launch date of our move on the road and what all is going into that as we kind of unpack a little bit more of the transition that is happening in our lives.